ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। कृष्ण, वी वेलकम ऑल डिवोटीज टू आवर संडे फेस्टिवल, वेर एवरी संडे वी ऑल गेट टुगेदर एंड हियर एंड चैंट कृष्णास ग्लोरीज। एंड एस्पेशली वॉन्ट टू थैंक ऑल ऑफ यू बिकॉज all of you are taking out your time on a Sunday afternoon. You could be doing so many other things, but by showing a desire to hear and chant about Krishna, you are also inspiring all of us who are staying in the temple. Thank you very much. We are having a series of lectures on the topic called Divine Qualities, based on the 16th chapter of Gita. And the 16th chapter begins with Abhayam Satva Samshuddhim. Fearlessness is one of the qualities, divine qualities. Purification of one's existence, Satva Samshuddhi, like that. And today we'll be covering this topic called fearlessness. So a person is very fearful, and we have to reach a stage when we can become fearless. This is one of the divine qualities. Now, generally we hear devotees say that we don't have to worry about getting qualities. We just have to do devotional service. Krishna will give all the qualities. You have heard this many times. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarver gunestatra samasate sura. If you simply do nice devotional service, all the good qualities will come. It's true. But what this means is, we are not supposed to do ritual. Bhakti is not supposed to be done in a very mechanical way. It has to be done with feelings, with bhava. Then all the qualities will come. And how do we do devotional service with feeling? How do we engage in devotional service with great feeling? That is the desire to please Krishna. Whenever we engage in any service with the desire to please Krishna's transcendental senses, with an intention to glorify Krishna, then that is pleasing to Krishna, and then Krishna will bestow on us all the good qualities. Therefore, when we are trying to cultivate some qualities like humility, fearlessness, tolerance, these qualities we are cultivating so that we can please Krishna, and by our tiny effort of trying to develop these qualities for the pleasure of Krishna, Krishna, because he is merciful and he is pleased, he will bestow these divine qualities on us. So our efforts is very tiny, minuscule. But Krishna is very merciful. So we have to try and do devotional service on the basis of these very important qualities that we have to cultivate. So today's seminar or presentation, we'll discuss the following five topics. We'll introduce this concept of fear and fearlessness first for a few minutes. And then we'll discuss why does fear exist in society. And then we'll discuss how to cope with fear. And then we'll discuss some examples of fearlessness, followed by conclusion. How our goal is not to become fearless. Our goal is to love Krishna. So what kind of fear is also good? That we will discuss in the end. Now in this world, I was surprised. There are so many types of fear, and this is called as phobia. And there are thousands of phobia in this world. Do you know this? Amazed. I was amazed. So some people are afraid of water. So that is called as hydrophobia. Some people also have fear of crowds. When they see crowds like this, they get afraid. Claustrophobia, I think it's called. So there are some people who are fearful of bathing. It's called as ablutophobia. And what is aerophobia? Fear of heights. So when they go to some height, they become afraid. And there is also one kind of fear called as pantophobia. Fear of everything. Somebody is fearful of everything is called as a phantophobic person. Pantophobic person. And I just hope here nobody has pilladophobia. I hope. Because pilladophobia is fear of bald people. So, So fear of bald persons, those who don't have hair on the head. So when you see them, if you become afraid, that is called as pelidophobia. So that also fear is there in this world. So phobia is everywhere. Basically, when we are introducing this topic of fear, I want to clarify what we mean by fear. Basically, fear here refers to what is the emotion this person is going through. Fear. So we are here referring to the emotion of anxiety, stress, worry. You know, this is a common phenomenon we all go through. So we are using a generic term called fear, bhaya, for explaining these emotions that we get of insecurity, anxiety, worry, stress. And material world is a place where this is all pervading. Everywhere it is existing. Fear is called, it's like a dark room where negatives develop. When you take a photo, then in the dark room, all the negatives, they develop into positive. Similarly, once we cultivate this fear, then eventually so many things happen in our lives and we become more and more fearful and they develop into certain realities that are not pleasing to us. So this is very, very common phenomenon. And therefore this world has been described in the scriptures as kuntha. Kuntha means place of constant anxiety. And therefore we have to go to Vaikuntha, which is free of all fear and anxiety. So material world means characterized by this fear, constant anxiety and fear. And the most amazing thing about this concept of fear is, we mostly worry about things that never happen. The researchers have proven that 65% of the fear that we have and worry that we have, that never happens. And 12% of the fear is generally of some past event that has happened and we are keep worrying about it. And 13% fear is caused by people whom you can't change. They will always be like that. And 6% fear is caused by events that are beyond our control. So like this, how much? 96%. Somebody is very alert in the class. 96%. And how much is remaining? 4%. So the researchers have said that only 4% of worry which human beings have, that fear and that worry is because of real things. But we don't have time to address that because we are busy with the other 96%. That is our condition. Therefore, somebody very nicely gave a full form of fear. False evidence appearing as real. So it's false basically. Therefore, this is a very common phenomenon. As you can see, this man is very much in anxiety. And material world is characterized by these emotions, fear, anxiety and worry. And there are so many seminars we have conducted on this topic. It's a very popular topic, fear, stress, stress management. Once we had a stress management seminar for 9th standard students also. So even they are under stress. So we can imagine what world we are living in. And in this world, people externally appear very cool, as if they are very confident and happy. But actually inside, there's a lot of anxiety. You know, especially if you see in airports, people walk so much confidence. But when they come out and they see the person who's supposed to receive them is not come, and that, you know, and then they just start looking here and there, so much anxiety on their face. So these confident people, inside there is a lurking fear, fear of the unknown. They are like ducks, you know, duck is very cool on the surface. If you see, the duck is swimming very smoothly. But below the water, what is the duck doing? It's paddling very fast. But external, we can see only the duck above the surface of the water. So we say, oh, the duck is so cool, so peaceful. But inside, it's desperately paddling. Similarly, people appear very cool in this world. Materialistic people, they appear to be very poised and very confident. But inside, there is so much, you know, passion, ignorance, churning. And there are so many desires. And these desires cause so much of aturta, anxiety. So that's why this world is like that. Prayena alpa ayusha sabhya kalo vasmin yuge jana manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya upadruta. Sutta Goswami says, alpa ayusha, almost all people in this Kali Yuga are less, they have less lifespan. Manda sumanda matayo, they are lazy, unintelligent. Manda bhagya, they are unfortunate. And upadruta, upadruta means always fearful, disturbed, always in anxiety. Therefore, this is a common phenomenon. And why? What is the cause of all this fear? Who causes this? The human mind. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha moksha. Mind can be the best of friends and the worst of enemy. And this we should understand. Fear in this world is caused primarily by our mind. And even if we have everything, the mind will point out something that we don't have. And the mind will give us reasons to be miserable and fearful and in anxiety. Like in the Bhagavatam, we have the example of Chitraketu Maharaj. He didn't have a child, so he was always in anxiety. Sad. I want child. So he married 1 crore wives. He actually became crorepati. Sometimes they have this quiz contest. Kaun banega crorepati? Chitraketu Maharaj is the correct answer for that. He had 1 crore wives, but no child. So much anxiety. And there is another example in the Bhagavatam of Maharaj Anga. He had a child, Vena. And he was always in anxiety. He was thinking, better I didn't have a child. So material world is like that. No? Gaur Gopal Prabhu says this poem, as a rule, man is a fool. When it is hot, he wants it cool. When it is cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting that which is not. That is the nature of the mind. Always the mind will say, oh, I don't have this. I don't have that. So not only the mind, we should understand these fears are caused by the mind, because you know it's a little painful to accept, but we have to accept that we are suffering because of our own mind. Emona durmati samsara bitare podiya achinu ami. So because of our mind we are suffering birth after birth. So not only the mind makes us remain dissatisfied, but look at how wretched our mind is at this conditioned stage. Mind also starts perceiving and speculating realities. And because of these wrong perceptions, certain bodily changes also take place. Like there was a movie many years ago called Lawrence of Arabia. And in that movie they showed that the whole movie is a desert area. They are fighting, you know, in camels and horses. So when this movie was shown in Canada, that time Canada was witnessing the worst winter, minus 30 degree or something. Lot of winter was going on, and this movie was shown in all the many theaters, and people were watching this movie, and amazingly this particular year saw highest sale of ice cream in Canada. They were wondering, and then they analyzed and they found out after, during this movie interval, everybody would go outside and take ice cream. Although it was the worst winter, it was so cold, but because they were watching the movie constantly, in the movie they are seeing desert, hot. So the mind starts identifying with that reality so much that they feel they are also feeling hot, and it's hot and, you know, desert. So they come out and they take 2-3 ice creams. That's how the mind actually, mind can take you to that extent. This is true. So like that, many times we imagine certain things and we behave. So the mind can play havoc with our lives. So and not only the mind will always keep us dissatisfied, mind will speculate on reality, the mind can also kill us. There was a man who was sitting under a tree, and a snake came and bit him. And he felt the pain. And then he looked and he saw one rat going. He said, oh, rat bit me, okay. And he continued doing his work. And after a few days again he came and sat under the tree. And one rat came and bit him. And then he saw snake ata. And then he saw there was a snake going. If it's snake. And he became so fearful that he died. So when the snake bit him, he didn't die, because the perception of reality, the mind can play havoc. We are actually underestimating the power of mind. We think, you know, this may not happen to me, but we are constantly, we are a puppet in the hands of our mind. Actually, Sachinandan Maharaj told another story about his father's colleague who was in railways in Germany. And his job was to open the railway wagon, and this wagon would contain lot of vegetables and all that, and it would be in deep freeze. So one day, he went in to inspect and the temperature would be 2 or 3 degrees Celsius inside that wagon. He had to go inside and check the vegetables and everything. When he went in, suddenly somebody locked the door from outside and they locked it. And he came, he knocked on the door, and inside he got scared, because according to the technical aspects of the railway wagon, if you remain stuck inside for more than 7 hours, you will die because it is so cold. So he began to realize, because he was an engineer, he knew this. 7 hours, I'm going to die. So he started banging, shouting. Nobody opened the door. And eventually after 7 hours, he died. And next day morning when they opened the wagon, his body was found dead. Completely it had become blue and, you know, it was cold. And everybody was shocked that he died, because there was no reason for him to die. Actually, what had happened, in that railway wagon, there was no electricity for the last 12 hours. But still he died because of that. Who killed him? Was it the cold that killed him? Nobody killed him. His fear killed him. So fear can be disastrous. It can make us believe many wrong things as real, and it may make us ignore many realities also. So this is the introduction to this topic that we have presented, how fear can kill us also. So today's presentation, we have discussed this first topic. Now we are going to discuss a very important topic about why does fear exist in this world. Having understood what is fear, now we are going to come closer to the subject of abhayam, fearlessness. Bhayam ditiya biniveshata syat ishadapedasya viparyayo smriti. The fear exists in this world because we have gone away from Krishna. Ishadapedasya viparyayo. We have gone away from Krishna, and what we are identifying with? With our body. So the first cause of fear is bodily consciousness. This is our consciousness. You know, we are always thinking of our body. How I am healthy, stout, beautiful. So when we turn away from Krishna, who is the supreme reality, we then start focusing on temporary things, transient things. And what is the most temporary in this world, which we are most attracted to? That is the body, human body. The Bhagavatam describes how people are in constant anxiety because this is the root cause, consciousness, body, and extensions of body. Deya patya kalatradishu atmasenyeshu asatsapi tesham pramatta nidanam pashyan api na pashyati. Very powerful verse. Sukadeva Goswami begins Bhagavatam with this verse. He says the person is thinking that this deya, body, is everything. Deya patya kalatradishu, and the connections to the body, wife, husband, children, house, bank balance. Atma sainyeshu, this is my sena, this will protect me. But he doesn't realize that it is atma sainyeshu asat sapi. It is asat, it is temporary. And because he doesn't realize that this bodily army is temporary, tesham pramatta nidhanam. Pramatta, he becomes mad. He becomes obsessed with his temporary body. And he thinks nidhanam, destruction will not happen. He doesn't see the destruction of this body. Pashyan api na pashyati. He will see other people dying. He will see his wealth going away. But still, api na pashyati. He will still not see. He will see, but he will not see. In the sense, that means he will not accept that everything is temporary. And therefore, he will be attached to this body and the extensions of this body. And then what happens? What is the result of this attachment? Anxiety. Because you fear that this will be taken away. And what will happen? By the force of time, it will be taken away. And we can't reconcile to that taking away. So, fear. So, this is our root cause. And in that purport, Srila Prabhupada writes a very beautiful point. How that, you know, fishes, they are flapping for, if you take a fish out of water, it flashes for some time, flaps for some time, and then it dies. So, similarly, when we are out of our original consciousness, constitutional position of being servant of Krishna, we are in this material world, we are flapping, we are doing so many activities, we are doing so many things. But actually, it's all useless. We are out of water. It's only going to cause nidhanam, destruction. And we are not realizing that it's going to cause destruction. So we continue, and then eventually when things are taken away, we become very painful. And there is always this fear, it will be taken away, it will be taken away. That anxiety is always there of losing. For this bodily consciousness is what causes one of the biggest, it's the biggest cause of fear. The more we identify with our bodies, the more there will be fear. Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport, unfortunate thing is, not only human beings are bewildered, when a man is very bewildered, Prabhupada says, not only he is bewildered, his family members, whom he is thinking they will help him, not only they cannot help him, they are also bewildered by the material energy. So both of them are miserable. The person also and his family also. What a pitiable condition. And generally also if you see, everybody is body conscious in this world. There was one building, society, where the residents complained that their lift in the building is very slow. So they called that lift company and they realized that if we make it fast, a lot of money will be wasted. A lot of money will go. So what they did, very intelligent thing. Instead of repairing the lift, they put mirrors inside the lift everywhere. So then there was no complaint. Why? When people entered the lift, they would press their floor, seventh floor. The lift would go slow, but now they had some opportunity to look at the most beautiful, most attractive person. So they were just looking in the mirror and they were feeling, the lift is very fast, we have come so fast. Seventh floor, we are absorbed in the body. So this consciousness is what actually causes eventually a lot of anxiety and misery. And always fear, that fear is there that this will be taken away. Smashane sharira mama podiya rohibe bihanga patanga tai bihara koribe. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that what is this body? Smashane sharira mama podiya rohibe. This will eventually be lying in the smashan. And who will be enjoying this? Bihanga patanga tai bihar koribe. The insects, worms, know, flies, they will feast on this body. And this is the body that I am most attached to. Kukuro shrigala sab anandita hoye mohotsava koribe amar ye deha loye. He says, what is this body? Who will be feasting on this body? Kukuro shrigala sab. Dogs and jackals will be feeling very happy when I die. Why? Kukura Shrigala Sabha Anandita Hoye. They will be very happy. Mahotsava. Oh, today is our Sunday feast. This man has died. It's a feast for us. Mahotsava Kuribe Amar Ye Deha Loye. This is our body. But our whole center of our life is the body. Bodily consciousness. Therefore the scriptures say that we should not be attached to this body. Je Dehe Raye Gati Tara Anugata. He says, not only this body, tara anugata, samsara vaibhava ara bandhu jana jata. Not only this body will go like that, all the people who are attached to this body, all those who are connected to this body, family, friends, relatives, samsara vaibhava, all our opulences, they will also go away. This is our condition.
Ateva maya moha chadi buddhi maam Krishna Tattva Nitya Bhakti Koruna Sandhan.
Scripture say, therefore, Ataeva Maya Moha Chadi, give up. O Buddhiman, most intelligent person, please give up this attachment to this body and the bodily identifications. That is the best way, or that is the way we can begin to develop Abhayam, fearlessness. Nitya Tattva Krishna Bhakti Koruna Sandhan. So only eternal reality is devotional service to Krishna. So take shelter of Krishna, then we can develop fearlessness. Like we saw in the drama, the boy was very fearful. But because he called out to Deen Bandhu, got connected to the eternal reality, Krishna, he became fearless. So therefore this is very important. Not only devotees, even intelligent people amongst non-devotees, those who are philosophers, they eventually realize that this body is all temporary. When Aristotle was arrested by the kings at that time, and they told him, because of your blasphemous preaching, you have to die. And they gave him a cup of poison to, not Aristotle, sorry, Socrates. I'm sorry. Socrates was given this cup of poison. And they thought he will be fearful. Now he's going to die. but he was smiling. He said, "You want me to take this cup of poison because you think I'll die?" He smiled and he said, "First you have to catch me before you kill me. You can't catch me. I may drink this, but who is killing? Who is dying? My body is going to go away. I'm not this body." He had that realization. So, main problem is the bodily identification. And because of this bodily consciousness, what happens to us? We are constantly engaged in these four animalistic activities. Eating, sleeping, mating and defending. Ahara nidra bhaya maitunam samana metat pashubir naranam. Actually, these are the activities of animals and humans, same. But humans have a speciality. They can actually inquire about Krishna, about God. But because we don't inquire that, and we focus on these four activities which are common to animals, we are constantly filled with fear. Because these four activities are activities where there is always fear. One of them is fear, defending, bhaya. And the other three are also filled with fear. Sukadeva Goswami says, Nidraya riyate naktam vavaye nachavavaya divacharte hayarajan kutumbha bharane nava. What does a man do who is completely identifying with his body? In the night time, Nidraya riyate naktam, he is having sex or he is sleeping. And divacharte hayarajan, and what is he doing in the daytime? Earning money. Kutumbha bharane nava, just to feed himself and his family, and he is forgotten God. So what happens because of this engaging only in these four activities, human being becomes miserable. Because his potential is to realize God. So when he is not working according to his potential, when he is not looking for happiness that he can actually develop and is going for something lower, whatever he does, he will be frustrated. Like, you know, for example, if somebody is a very dynamic entrepreneur, very smart and intelligent, and if he is forced to work as a office clerk or peon, he'll always feel suffocated. He'll feel, I can do so much more. What am I doing here? Similarly, human beings can allow their consciousness to blossom. It's at the Mukulita stage. It's at the blossoming stage. It can become Vikasit and Purna Vikasit. It can fully blossom and develop love for Krishna. But because we are not allowing that consciousness to blossom, instead we are engaging in the bodily activities of eating, sleeping, mating, defending, completely bodily platform. So we are always feeling dissatisfied because they are not allowing the potential to be realized. That is the reason why people are not happy. If you see, for example, eating, all these activities, they are all activities of fear. If you see in animal life, eating is a fearful activity. If you have seen a hen eat, how she eats, she is eating and then she is looking here and there. Why? Always fearful, some cat will come. But do you see human beings eat like this? When we are going to take prasad now, are we going to feel somebody is going to come and, you know, beat me? You know? Humans are eating comfortably. Because this fear is there in animal society. Srila Prabhupada writes in Ishopanishad that eating, sleeping, mating, defending, these activities which are completely on the bodily platform, for animals they are fulfilled under nasty and unpleasant conditions, Srila Prabhupada writes. So if we engage in these activities, we also become fearful. So eating is also a fearful activity. People nowadays, they are so unrestricted in their eating that is causing them anxiety now. And sleeping, animals, if a donkey is sleeping, the master will come anytime and kick the donkey. Get up. You know? But human beings, when we sleep, nobody comes and kicks us. And you know, our parents don't come and say, get up, it's time to go to school. They don't kick you. It doesn't happen in human society. Some people may be kicked to get up. But generally, it doesn't happen. And even mating, animal society, mating is very violent, gruesome. 20 dogs will chase after one bitch and then another dog will come and fight and then they will. But human society, this doesn't happen. There is a culture, you know, man and woman will get married and then they will have mating. You know, 20 men don't come chasing after somebody's wife. These things happen now, but these are happening in human society also, because if you see, the whole focus of the human society is on eating, sleeping, mating, defending. So these four activities only we are focusing upon. So these four activities have become nasty and unpleasant for human beings also, because they are not focusing on something higher. Because they are absorbed in bodily consciousness like the animals. So very unfortunate situation has arisen today. So human beings have become simply two-legged, sophisticated, well-dressed, polished animals. In fact, human beings have become worse than animals. They have become more miserable than animals. You can see This is the condition of human beings. Why do we say this? Because why human beings are more miserable? Because animals don't take sleeping pills. Humans have to take sleeping pills. Animals don't face stress problems. We don't have stress management seminars for animals. Animals don't face threat from a member of the same species. A rat is not afraid of another rat. He is afraid of cat. Human being is afraid of lion, tiger. Human being is afraid actually of whom? Another human being. We have so much intelligence, so much power, but because we are living life like animals, we are becoming more miserable than animals. So animals don't have this problem of addictions. Addiction problem is typical of human beings. Animals don't face scarcity of food created by a member of the same species. 10 cows will not come and gang and take all the grass and prevent another cow from getting. But human society, you see all this happening. Animals don't have heartbreaks, they don't have somebody ditching them, then they don't compose ghazals and they don't have so many love songs and they don't take a rose and the monkey will not take a rose and cry, she loves me not. He will jump off to another tree and get another monkey knee and he will enjoy with it. But humans have to go through so much misery. And finally, animals don't commit suicide. Suicide is also the hallmark of human society. Why? Suicide is proving one point, that human beings have the potential to enjoy highest happiness, but because they are not tapping it, they also have the potential to suffer the most misery. That's why animals don't commit suicide. Animals can't enjoy happiness like human beings. They cannot tap that spiritual part. Humans can, but we are not focusing on that, so we will become more degraded than animals. Therefore, we have to understand, we have got this human form of life. Let us not be focusing only on bodily activities. Let us do the minimum for the body, but focus on developing our love for God. Then all fear will go away. Otherwise, we will be wasting our human life. We will be like that man who went to Godavari River and he had heard that in Godavari River there are gems. So he went and he picked up the stone. He saw there is a stone. He threw it away. He knew that there is some gem here in this river, I've heard. He picked up another stone. Oh, it's a stone he threw. He kept picking up stones and kept throwing. And eventually he actually got a gem. But because he was so conditioned to throwing, so he picked up, he saw a gem and a stone and he threw away. And then he realized what he had done. But that was gone. Similarly, we have got life of dog, pig, tiger, animal, birds. What we have done? Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We have been doing it all species. And then we get human life, but we are continuing the same thing. And that, before we realize, it will be gone. Human life is like that precious gem which we have got. Don't throw it. Hold it. And use this potential. We have to use this human potential to develop our love for Krishna. Then fearlessness will come. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes that human life is a precious gift of God and must be used for cultivating God consciousness. Srila Prabhupada gives a very beautiful example in Science of Self-Realization, that if High Court judge and a clerk is working very hard whole day, and the judge comes for a few hours, passes some decision and goes away, and the judge gets 10 times more salary than the clerk, but the clerk is working more hard. How do you understand? Srila Prabhupada says, the judge is being paid more because he has a higher responsibility. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada says that animals, they have to really go through a lot of struggle for existence. But humans should not focus on the same eating, sleeping, mating, defending. They have a higher responsibility. When they focus on that higher responsibility, the basic things are easily met. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada writes in second canto purport also that we have reserve energy. Human beings have a lot of potential. We should use that for knowing about God. So this is the first reason why we have fear. What is the first reason? Bodily consciousness. There is one more reason why people are always in constant fear and anxiety, and that is because of the gap between expectation and reality. A lot of stress and anxiety is caused because of bodily consciousness, there is an expectation that the body will support and we'll get all the enjoyment. And if you see, the nature of this world is, when we expect something and we don't get, what happens? Frustrated. And what happens if we get it? Happy? Greed. Want more. And then the expectations increase. So basically in this world, there is always a gap between expectation and what is the reality. So basically this chart explains our condition very clearly. We have some expectation to enjoy, but the actual reality is something else. It falls short. So this gap is called as stress, and that causes fear. So what is the constant factor here? If you see reality, reality is constant. In the sense, reality is not in our control. But expectation is something which is in our control. But because we have very high expectations and the reality is not matching up, so that gap causes us anxiety. And the scriptures explain this as one of the most important reasons why people are always in bhaya, fearing. Bhogi roga bhayam kule chuti bhayam vitte nripalad bhayam mane denya bhayam bhale ripu bhayam rupe jaraya bhayam shastre vadi bhayam khale guna bhayam kaye kritantad bhayam sarvam vastu bhayam bhuvi vidrumam vairagyameva bhayam. Bhogi roga bhayam. One who is enjoying constantly is afraid that one day his enjoyment may be curtailed because of some disease. Because he's enjoying, the expectation is increasing of enjoyment. But the capacity of the body to give you enjoyment will reduce over a period of time. But the desire to enjoy will increase over a period of time. Look at the irony. As we spend more time in this body, our expectations increase to enjoy. But the capacity of the body to provide that enjoyment reduces. So the gap increases. So fear, anxiety. The owner of Boeing 747... was a very wealthy man. He had all the facilities to enjoy. But eventually he got such a bad disease that he had to live on some barley water and some very bitter kind of medicine. He couldn't eat any of the palatable foodstuffs. He couldn't drink any of the things. He couldn't go for parties. And whole life, rest of his life, he was miserable. Because he had no higher pursuit. Bhogi roga bhayam. Kule chuti bhayam. Somebody is having a lot of money and property, is afraid that he may not have a successor to his property. Mr. Rockefeller, the original one, he had only one son. And that son went on a sociology study to an island. He wanted to study cannibals. So the cannibals caught him and ate him up. So the object of his study devoured him. So he died. So Rockefeller was devastated. And in an interview he said, for the rest of my life I can never be happy because my son has died. So when we have expectations, but nature, this world is such that our expectations will not be fulfilled. Or they will be throttled over a period of time, and that causes fear. Bhogi roga bhayam kule chuti bhayam vitte nripalad bhayam. Somebody has a lot of money. His fear is stock market will crash. Basically, see, we all have some centers in our life. If somebody's center is money, you know, my happiness is determined by money. So what happens? When stock market increases, you become happy. Because money is the center. And that's why you see some people, because of stock market losses, they have committed suicide. Why? Because their sense of identity is money. There was one very famous heart surgeon in America, McCauley. And he developed some problem in the eyes. So he couldn't do proper surgery. For a surgeon, more than the finger, the eyesight is supposed to be very good and something like that. You know, you can do surgery properly. So because of that, he couldn't do the surgery properly and he started losing. And he had taken all his money and put it in a stock market. And the stock market crashed. And he lost all of it. And it was in great... He became a pauper overnight. And he had to survive on some government funds. Lived his whole life in anxiety and fear. So like this, everybody... There are examples for all this category. Mane, denya, bhayam. Somebody is honored a lot. Mana is afraid that he will be dishonored. Sambhavitasya chakirtir maranadatir ichyate. For somebody who is honored, dishonor is worse than death. There was Ben Johnson, one athlete. He broke the record of 100 meters, 9.79 seconds. Everybody glorified him. He was a hero. And next day morning it was revealed that he had actually taken drugs. He was from Canada. So after the Olympics, So he was, he became, this is 1988, around that time. And he won the Olympic gold medal and everybody glorified him. And the next day when it was revealed that he has taken drugs, the same Canada government issued a notice saying that don't return to our country, we reject you. Overnight, what devastation he must be experiencing. Mane denya bayam bhale ripu bayam. One who is strong, his anxiety will be somebody stronger will conquer him. Napoleon, everybody calls him Napoleon the Great. He conquered all countries, but nobody talks about how he died. He died miserably at St. Helena Islands, where his British captors, they treated him so badly. They would make him stay in a very deserted prison cell. They would feed him horse urine. And they would ask him, so you are Napoleon the Great? And they would humiliate him. And they would beat him. He died a miserable death. So more than the beating and the suffering, the experience of having been honored so much and now the reality gap is so big, that causes distress and pain. Mane denya bayam bale ripu bayam rupe jaraya bayam. One who is very beautiful, fearful of old age. Jara. Brigitte Bardot, French actress, so beautiful. One day she went, she saw in her mirror, she has one spot of, you know, wrinkles on the face and she realized she is becoming old. She was so shattered. She couldn't reconcile that my beauty is going now. So she didn't step out of her room. She said, I'll not go out now. And for the next 30 years, she remained inside her house. Because she was saying, how can people look at me like this now? I'm so beautiful. I can't get gold. So much anxiety and stress. Rupe jaraya bayam. Shastre vadi bayam. Somebody is very intelligent. And he has got a lot of knowledge. He fears somebody more knowledgeable will come and defeat him in debate. When Edison invented the direct current theory and invented the bulb, it became very famous. Some other scientists created the alternate current theory. And Edison was so afraid that this theory will become popular. Whole his rest of his life, he was struggling to prevent that theory from being published and from getting name and fame for that theory. So instead of being happy, the whole world is glorifying him, but he was miserable. Because his own constant anxiety was somebody should not supersede him. This is the condition of this world. Everybody is in fear. Everybody is working. That is one. Once Krishna Chandra Prabhu was telling us, the chairman of Intel many years back, he wrote a book. I forget his name. No, but I remember the name of the book. Book was Only Paranoid Can Survive. So this is the book. Only Paranoid Can Survive. He wrote this book. And what is the theme of this book? That if you want to survive in this world, you have to always be fearful. Fearful of market conditions, fearful of the competitors. So this is the idea of life in this world. Fear. Bale ripu bayam, rupe jaraya bayam, shastre vadi bayam, khale guna bayam. Somebody is cheating, is always afraid of being exposed. When we were young, famous cricket player was Hansie Cronier from South Africa. Big hero. He revolutionized cricket. They used to come with laptop to the cricket field. Very big strategies. And then it was revealed that he has taken bribe. Disgrace. Overnight he became a villain. And then what happened to him? Eventually he died in a plane crash. And that news was reported in, you know, some corner of some paper. It was a non-event. So that disgrace. And then he actually mentioned that I am feeling ashamed of myself. I am a disgrace. The greed for money has destroyed me. So you can see how people, when they have expectations to enjoy in this world, there's always this fear. As long as they're in bodily consciousness, fear is always the attachment, the concomitant factor. And then finally, khale guna bayam, and then kaye kritantat bayam. Everybody is afraid of death. Walt Disney, famous cartoon filmmaker, he was afraid of death. So he told the scientist that, can you please ensure that I don't die? The scientist said, we will create a special machine, special medicine, which will be injected into you and you can be brought back to life. We are doing research, so we need so many millions of dollars. He said, you take all my money and once I die, you preserve my body in some, you know, freeze and some nice place. And then once you discover the medicine, you inject it and then I'll come back to life. So the scientists fooled him nicely and they took a lot of money. And then Walt Disney's successors, his property, they got scared that what if he comes back to life. So they told the scientists that please don't continue the research. They said, no, we have already done, almost complete now. So he said, no, 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 stop it, stop it. No, but we have spent a lot of money. So the relative said, we will give you much more money. So then so the scientists made a good money out of it. So then they got so much more money, and then they stopped the research. And then Walt Disney, he made so many cartoon films, but he himself ended up becoming a cartoon. So much money gone. Fear of death. Fear, you know, constantly anxiety. This is the nature of this world. Whoever you are, if you are focusing on bodily pleasures, bodily identifications, extensions of body, fear comes. And the expectation between a reality and the gap between expectation and reality is what causes us fear. This is the second reason. There is another reason why also we should know there is fear in this world, and that is because of, what is this? The time factor. Radhana Swami Maharaj was once giving lecture at Kar, at Mahaprabhu Prabhu's house, and he said, all of you are looking at the clock here at Mahaprabhu Prabhu's house. This clock is being looked at by both young boy and an old man. Both look at the same clock in a different mood, Maharaj said. He said, a young boy looks at the clock and says, why is this clock going so slow? It should go fast. Come on, go fast. And an old man looks at the same clock and says, it's going too fast. Slow down. Young boy wants the clock to go fast so that he can get more freedom, he can enjoy. He is waiting to grow. An old man is actually lamenting. The clock is going too fast. Muhammad Ali, one of the greatest boxers of all time, when he was a young man, he won the world heavyweight championship. He won the gold medal in Rome Olympics. Powerful. When he would come to fight in the boxing match, people would sing songs in his glorification. When he would enter, all the fans would sing song. I fly like a bird, I sting like a bee, I am the greatest Muhammad Ali. So he would enter, and in one knock, you know, he would beat the opponent down. I am the greatest. He made this statement, I am the greatest Muhammad Ali. And now what is his condition? In 1996, Atlanta Olympics, the final torch of flame, you know, which you put, that was given to him to put. And he took 5 minutes to put it. Why? Because his hand is suffering. Parkinson's disease, I think. So he can't move his hand. So it took him 5 long minutes. He was shaking and trembling. And you know, everybody was watching. You know, it was like, what will happen? Because that is the climax of the Olympics opening ceremony. That final torch which you put. And with great, you know, anxiety, finally put it. And then the flame lit up and everybody applauded. The whole world celebrated. Wow, what determination, what glory. What strong, how, what determination he has. But the organizers of the Olympics, they simply heaved a sigh of relief. For them, it was a relief because after 5 minutes, if it had fallen off from his hand or something, it would have been a big flop. So you can see how time, and then he actually made a statement. He said, I said I am the greatest. Actually, I am the greatest fool because I thought I am the greatest. Time is all powerful. So when we are, so what happens? We don't realize this time is invading our life, but when we actually see time is coming, and then our fear starts. That's why you see old people many times, when you go to villages, your hometown, and your old relatives and uncles or grandparents, when they embrace you, they cry a lot out of affection. Why they cry? One reason they cry is because they also don't know. When you come next time, they may not be there. That fear is there. So time causes a lot of anxiety and fear in people's lives. That's why, you know, when the obituary column they have, when the old people see, oh, this friend has died and, you know, my classmate has died, it's very scary because they feel they are standing in line and one by one we are all going. It's a very scary experience. I mean, I don't have realizations on this, but I once remember I went home some years back. I saw my uncle. He was lying on his, you know, kind of deathbed. He was about to leave his body and very old. For many years he was paralyzed and I saw his old wrinkled body, and then he was a photographer all his life. And then right above his bed was a family album where he and my father and all my uncles, you know, 8, 9 of them, and, you know, aunts. It was a family album taken many years back, and they were all young and handsome, you know, they looked like Gandharvas. All of them were, I was looking at that, wow, because I had never seen them so young and handsome, because I only remember them as, you know, uncles old. And now I'm seeing him on the bed, and I was seeing that photo above, and I was like, I was trying to contrast how time has. I remember that experience very well. And then next to that photo was another photograph of my father and his immediate elder brother, uncle. They were standing under a coconut tree, and my father was 7 years old, and that uncle was 8 years old or something. And they had hands on each other's arms. And they were in cheddis, shorts and banyan, and they were laughing. And you know, it looked so cute. And I was thinking, oh, this is my father. I was like, wow, this is my father's photo. And I was thinking, oh, now, time, how time has entered our lives. So you know, right now we may be feeling that things are going nicely, but before we realize, time will turn the tables. Everything will be over. So basically, it's a very scary experience. And this time, power of time, how time causes fear, was very well learned by, very well taught by Vidura, to whom in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Dhritarashtra was taught this lesson by Vidura. Evam griheshu saktanam pramattanam tadiyaya atyakramad avigyata kalah paramadustara. He says, my dear Dhritarashtra, you are suffering in this kingdom. Whole life you have been attached to your body and your kingdom. Evam griheshu saktanam, you are attached to your body. Pramattanam, you have become mad. Leave this house. Practice devotional service. Atyakramad, avigyata, you are not realizing that avigyata, avigyata means imperceptible factor. That force which you cannot identify. Like, you know, imperceptible means it is there but you cannot see it. What is that force? Avigyata, kalaha paramadustara. The greatest force is kal, time. See, for example, your finger. You can't see it growing, but it is growing, right? But you feel it's not growing. I can't see it growing, but it is growing. That is atyakramat avigyata. It's imperceptible. You cannot see how it is growing, but it is imperceptibly growing. That's how time enters our life. Or candle. If you take a candle, light the candle, and after 1 minute if you see it appears same. But what has happened? The wax has melted. That's how powerful time is. And the next verse he says, Vidurastate abhipretya dhritarashtrama bhasata rajan nirgamyatam shigram pashyedam bhayamagatam. Very beautiful verse. Not scary verse actually. He says, Rajan, he calls Dhritarashtra as Raja, king. Basically this is sarcastic because Dhritarashtra was not a king. But he wants to call him, oh king, get up. Nirgamyatam, get out of the kingdom. Practice devotional service when? Tomorrow? Day after? Next year? Shigram, immediately, get up, get out. Srila Prabhupada writes in that purport, Vidura is calling Dhritarashtra as king out of sarcasm because in this world there is nobody, nobody is king. Prabhupada defines king. Srila Prabhupada says, king means one who can give order. And then Prabhupada asks the question, who gives order in this world? Only time. The proper rights. And he says, when, like you know, in a court, when the judge issues a notice, summons call, you cannot refuse it. And when the judge gives a judgment, you cannot deny it. Prabhupada says, time gives you summons, and old age is the notice issued by time. So it is a court notice. You have to become old. So Vidura is pointing out, Rajan Nirgamyatam Shigram, get out. Why? Pashyedam, just see your face. What has happened? Bhayam Agatam. Agatam means come. Who has come? Bhaya. Fear has come to your life. Because when we become older and older and we are not connected to Krishna, and as we see our body is dwindling, fear overwhelms us. There is a story I'd read before coming to Krishna consciousness, a novel. That time I didn't know its implications, but now after reading Bhagavatam, I realized that time we had read it as entertainment, but now we realize it's so relevant to our life. And it's actually exposing the power of time. I also heard that they made a movie out of it. I haven't seen the movie, but I would like to share the story with you. The story describes about one man who was in a very comfortable, happy life in his home. And one day there was a knock on the door. He opened the door. One very handsome but enigmatic person entered. Means enigmatic means you couldn't make out what he is. He had a mysterious smile. And he just entered and sat on the sofa. For this man said, "Who are you? How did you enter my house without invitation? Who are you?" For this man smiled and said, "I am death. I have come to take you. Your time is up. Come." For this man, initially, he was denying. And then he realized, "I have to go." He realized that this man means business. So he started crying, "No, no, no, please don't take me. No, I'm sorry." And he would always smile. He would not get angry. "No, no, you have to come with me." "No, no, no, please, please don't leave me." He's crying. And then he says, "See, please, you know, today is my son's marriage. And I have to be there. Please, please don't take me away." So death, Mr. Death, he sits very coolly and he smiles. And he says, "Okay, actually, you can leave one more year. But the problem is, you'll have to exchange. Because your watchman of the building is supposed to die 1 year later. You are supposed to die today. So you can exchange. I will take you after 1 year, but then that fellow will die today. Chalega? Will it okay with you?" He said, "Oh, okay, okay, no problem." So Mr. Death smiles and quietly leaves the house. So this man feels relieved. And next day, he immediately gets the news. "Oh, watchman has died, watchman has died." Then he feels relieved. "Oh, it is not he." And then he forgets. He continues to enjoy life. And then again after 1 year, exactly 1 year later, there is a knock on the house. And he opens the door. And again the same person has come. And he says, "Oh, you have come." He says, "Yes, remember, I'm your old friend, Death. It's time. 1 year is up. Let's go." So this old man says, "No, no, 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 please, please. Today is actually, you know, my daughter-in-law, she has given birth to a baby child. I want to see the child. You know, no, please, I'm going to become a grandfather now. You can't take me. Please, please." He starts crying. And Mr. Death says, "No, I've given you one chance. Now you have to come." So this old man keeps crying. And finally, Death says, "Okay, no problem. Actually, I can take you 1 year later. Because 1 year later, your neighbor is supposed to die. But I can take him now. I'll take you 1 year later. Is that okay?" He says, "Okay, okay, okay, take him. But immediately, Death says, "No, no, there is some complication in this story now. Because your neighbor is supposed to die 1 year later, but in the next 1 year, he's also going to commit some murder. So that karma will come on you. That means you will live for one more year, but you will do some murder also." So he says, "Chalega, I want to somehow see my grandchild. I don't want to die." So much fearful of death. So then the death goes away. And the next 1 year is different for him. He's always in fear and anxiety. Because he knows twice he has got a chance. And that whole year he's only looking at the calendar. Days are going by. And finally the day comes when Mr. Death is supposed to come. And that night he can't sleep. There's a whole chapter describing his sleep of that night. In his dream he sees a huge clock, which is the size of a sky. And he sees two big, needles? Arms of the clock. They are going. So he sees one, and you know, the day is passing, it's about to become 12. That day has arrived. Two times he's got a chance. Now he's not going to get a chance again. And he's seeing that clock, the big handle, the big arm going up to 12. And as he's seeing it, so the clock is very huge and he's tiny. And in his dream, the dream he gets is he's holding on to that arm of the clock. And he's pulling it down with all his effort. And that arm is going up. Surely but slowly. Slowly but surely it's going up. And he's trying to pull it and he's panting, huffing, sweating. And he's pulling it down, but it's going up. And then he's in full anxiety and it strikes 12. And there is a knock on the door. Tuck, tuck, tuck. And actually, he also realizes that it is his grandson's first birthday. So he wants to be there. And all his family members are expecting him. But he is locked himself in the room because he is scared that Mr. Death will come. So he says, "No, no, I can't die. He is going to take me." So finally he makes a plan. He takes a big dagger and he says, "I am going to kill Mr. Death. So then there will be no problem." So he keeps a dagger ready. And the knock on the door is louder. He says, "No, no, no. Death has come to take me. I will not go." He keeps the dagger ready. And there's a big knock. And he goes close to the door. He says, "As soon as he comes in, I'll stab him." And finally the door is broken. And as soon as the person enters, he stabs. But actually, who was that? That is his wife who has come in to invite him for the birthday party of their grandchild. and he kills her and she is dead. And then he realizes he is murdered. And that time, that very moment, he sees Mr. Death is standing next to him and says, "Now, you're ready to come?" And then he realizes what he has done. He was destined to commit one murder, that also he has done. So he finally resigns to his fate and is taken away. So this is a mundane story, but I found it very striking after I became devotee. I thought it made so much sense. You know, trying to pull the clock, the arm of the clock down, but the clock goes up. How much ever we try. And it's not just Dhritarashtra. Even modern times, we have this lady here on the screen. When 20 years ago, she was a very powerful leader of the world. Her name is Margaret Thatcher. When she used to give lectures, she was the Prime Minister of Britain. When she would give lectures, the House of Commons would applaud and glorify her. And the whole world would watch with bated breath. Oh, Mrs. Thatcher, what a personality. But recently, the Sun magazine carried an article by Mrs. McDougall. She interviewed and she studied her life and she says, Mrs. Thatcher is on the verge of insanity. She is under great depression because she is now more than 85 years old. Her husband has died. She is all alone. She is basically under tremendous fear of her life. She is fearing. She is always living in constant fear. This article I got and I was like, this is one, at one time one of the most powerful leaders of the world. So it's not simply Dhritarashtra. Srila Prabhupada writes actually in one same purport of that section that 5,000 years ago there was one Dhritarashtra. But today there is a Dhritarashtra in every house. Srila Prabhupada says, oh, we are attached to this body. We are not realizing the power of time. Actually, at Srila Prabhupada used to give this example of one Mr. Ashutosh Mukherjee, who was a very big some leader. During Prabhupada's childhood, Ashutosh Mukherjee's statue would be there in Calcutta. And whole year, the pigeons and crows would come and pass tool on that statue. And one day, on the birthday of Ashutosh Mukherjee, the political parties and the municipality would come and they would clean with the water and pipe. And after cleaning the whole statue, then in the evening, all the netas would come, they would salute and they would put garland, they would worship and then they would go back. Again, next day morning onwards, the pigeons and crows would pass through. So Prabhupada said, this is the glory of people in this world. And nowadays, now also I don't think anybody knows who that leader is. Even Prabhupada was a young boy, that time the statue was there. So such big, big leaders have come and gone. Time is contemptuous, you know. It dismisses all of us with utter disdain and contempt. Has no regards for our achievements in this world. So therefore, we become fearful. So these are the three reasons why we have a lot of fear in this world. So we have discussed the second topic now. Why does fear exist? Easy to remember. Bodily consciousness, time factor and gap between expectation and reality. BTG. Fear exists because of BTG. Anyway, so now we are going to discuss how to cope with fear. This is how to actually, now that we know the causes, we know what is the actual cause for our suffering in this world. Now let us discuss the solutions. So the first solution for coping with fear, actually only two solutions we are going to discuss. This is the first. Hearing about Lord Krishna. Because Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is the supreme absolute truth. So when we hear about Krishna constantly, who is the eternal reality, we get connected to this eternal reality and we also transcend our bodily identifications and we also are looking forward to our union, to our service to Krishna. So that keeps a person happy even though he is in bodily existence. Dautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha Pantasva Sharanam Yatha. The Bhagavatam describes, when we constantly keep hearing about Krishna, Dautatma Purusha Krishna Padamulam Namunchati Mukta Sarva Pariklesha, all anxieties and fear will go away. Just like, there's an example given by Sukadeva Goswami. Pantasva Sharanam Yatha, just like a traveler, when he travels a long distance, what is his source of relief and happiness? When he comes home, what does he feel? How does he feel after a long distance of traveling? He feels relief. So Sukadeva Goswami says, when one remembers Krishna and hears about Krishna, that is the first experience we get. We feel relief from the bodily existence, the suffering that we experience in this bodily existence. And therefore this hearing is very important. The culture of hearing, which is very strong in our temple, we are extremely grateful and very grateful to His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj and many other devotees who constantly have emphasized on this culture of hearing Krishna Katha, Bhagavatam classes. So we are very fortunate and we are very blessed. And if we continue this path of hearing regularly, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, every day if we hear Bhagavatam, then our attraction to Krishna will grow and we can overcome all the fears of this world. And one of the best examples of one who has perfected hearing is in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the example of Maharaj Parikshit. Parikshit was about to die. He was given 7 days. And when he was told, Takshaka will come and bite you and you will die, he was completely fearless.
Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi drida chittamishe Dvijopasrishtha kuvakas takshakova Dashatvalam gayata vishnu gatha.
He tells all the sages on the bank of Ganges that, oh my dear sages, Tammopayatam pratiyantu vipra Ganga cha devi drida chittamishe. I beg all of you, I beg Mother Ganga, please give me determination to fix my mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. And then he's saying, Vijopasrishta kuvakas takshakova. Let that magical word takshaka come and bite me. Let me die. I don't mind. Dashatvalam ga yata Vishnu gata. All of you, please go on constantly singing the glories of Vishnu, Krishna. Because I am fully satisfied. I am focused on wanting to hear about Krishna, I am not afraid of death. This is the consciousness of Parikshit Maharaj. He is completely fixed and fearless at the most critical time, because our fear is maximum at the point of death. Life is a preparation, death is the examination. And Parikshit Maharaj passed that final examination with distinction, flying colors. He was fully prepared for his death. And in the Bhagavatam, the same first canto, there is a very interesting episode. The sages at Naimisharanya are telling Suta Goswami that please don't stop Krishna Katha, because Krishna Katha will give us life, will give us nectar. And I want to tell you something, my dear Suta Goswami. Sranagarish is saying, if we do Krishna Katha, what will happen? He says, Yamaraj will come here and Yamaraj will hear. So if Yamaraj hears Krishna Katha, then we are protected, because he will sit in the class and he will also be hearing. So Shonakarishi says, Shudrayusham Rinamanga Martyanam Ritamichati Yopahuto Bhagavan Mrityushamitra Karmani. Very beautiful verse. He says, Shudrayusham Rinam. Rinam means human beings. How long they live in this world? Kshudra Ayusha, very brief lifespan. Kshudra Ayusham Rinam Anga, O Anga, O Suta Goswami, Kshudra Ayusham Rinam Anga. And then what he's saying? Martyanam. Who has a short life? Martyanam, those who are supposed to die. But look at the irony. Martyanam Ritam Ichchatam. What is the Ichcha of those who are about to die? Ritam, they don't want to die. What a situation. Everybody is going to die, but everybody wants to live forever. That's an amazing. Martyanam Ritamichatam. Everybody is going to die, but the desire is never to die. There is one Christian proverb which says, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. It's amazing. Martyanam Ritamichatam. So therefore, my dear Suta Goswami, Yopa Huto Bhagavan, let us call Kala. The controller of Kala is also called as Bhagavan. Kala is also called as Bhagavan. Yopahuta Bhagavan Mrityu Shamitra Karmani, one who suppresses death. one who is in charge of death. Let us call him. Let us please him. Let him come for Krishna Katha. So what will happen when he comes? He sees Krishna Katha is going on. And he becomes very happy. And then later on, when we die, God forbid, if Yamdutas come, even if they take us in front of Yamraj, and Yamraj will see us, what will he say? Hey, I saw him. He was there in the Bhagavatam class. He comes for Krishna Katha. I know him. No, he sleeps in the class always, but very good person, sincere. He sleeps, but at least he is sleeping in the class. He is not sleeping at home, so very good. So I think we should not get him here. It's a wrong file. You know, he's person of Vaikuntha. So Yamraj becomes happy because he's seeing whenever there is Krishna Katha going on, Yamraj comes. So Yamraj becomes very happy. And then we are saved from repeated birth and death. Like, you know, sometimes some influential persons in the society come. We may honor them. Some, like, you know, commissioner, some traffic police in charge or somebody. And then later on, sometime when we have problem, like we don't get permission for Rath Yatra or something. So we go to that commissioner and he says, Hare, I know you. You are Hare Krishna. You flattered me so nicely. You honored me. You worshipped me. So he has that obligation. He feels nice. So then he gives you the thing that you want. Similarly, Yamraj, we can't flatter him by... See, how do you please Yamraj? You can't flatter him. You can't glorify him. How will you glorify him? You merciless... you torture the sinful people very nicely in these hells. How will you glorify Yamraj? Yamraj likes to be glorified. Yamraj likes to be... You can't flatter Yamraj. Yamraj becomes happy if we glorify Krishna because he is a Mahajan. He loves to hear about Krishna. So when we have Krishna Katha like this, Yamraj comes and he becomes very happy to see so many devotees hearing about Krishna. So he ensures that they don't come to hell. So therefore, it's very important that we take shelter of Krishna Katha. Constant hearing. Bhagavatam says... Somebody may say, oh, Bhagavatam is saying about after death, but what about while living? While living... I'm hearing Bhagavatam every day. How is this going to help me? On a practical day-to-day basis, how will hearing Bhagavatam help me? So that also Vyasadev answers in the Bhagavatam. Yasyam vai shriya manayam krishne parama purushe bhaktirutpadate pumsa shokamoha bhayapa. He says if we shriya manayam, if we carefully, attentively hear Bhagavatam class every day, Yasyam vai shriya manayam. What will happen? Krishne parama purushe. Krishna will manifest in the heart. Bhakti rutpaddate pumsam. And devotional service to Krishna will arise in the heart. And what three practical benefits we will get? Shoka moha bhayapah. Shoka. Shoka means lamentation. Generally lamentation is about past. Shoka, moha, baya, apaha. Three things will go away. Shoka will go, lamentation will go. Moha means illusion. And baya, baya means fear. Generally, lamentation is about past. Illusion is about present. And fear is about future. Basically, our past, present and future, all three are miserable. But, if we hear about Krishna, shoka, moha and baya will go away. That means our past, present, future, basically everything, our life will be auspicious. Very important. Actually, yesterday, Jana Mataji was telling in our counselor's meeting, very nice poem. She said, past is full of tears, future is full of fear. And therefore, if you want to be happy, we have to make our present filled with cheers. She was saying. So, we have to make, and how do we become cheerful in the present? By remembering Krishna, by hearing about the glorious pastimes of Krishna. So, therefore, Yamraj is pleased and we have guarantee of no more repeated birth and death. And in this world, we can also be relieved from shoka, moha and bhaya. So, hearing is the first solution. There is one more solution along with hearing and that is chanting the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare. Ajamil was a classic example. Ajamil was chanting the holy names. How? Unconsciously. He just chanted and he was delivered from all fear, fearful existence. And when we take part in Sankirtan, we are going to have after the class, ecstatic Sankirtan. Rishikesh Anand Prabhu will lead us. And This sankirtan is what actually gives pleasure to the soul. Pravishta karana randrena swanam bhava sarorvam dunoti shamalam krishna salilasya yatashrad. Bhagavatam says that if we allow Krishna's holy names to enter our ears, pravishta karana randrena, pravishta means enter. If we allow Krishna's transcendental sound vibration to enter our heart through the ear holes, swanam bhava sarorvam, love for Krishna will awaken, and dunoti shamalam krishna. Dunoti means washed away, cleaned. Shamalam krishna. Krishna in the form of the sound vibration will clean our hearts, which is filled with all contamination. Salilasya yatasharat. Just like when there is rain in the autumn season, it not only adds to the reservoirs of water, that is lakes, it also cleans up all the mud. So therefore, when we hear about Krishna, it is like the autumn rain. It adds bhakti into our hearts and also simultaneously cleans our heart of all the impurities. Therefore, this is a very powerful method, chanting constantly. And when we chant constantly, what happens? Srimad Bhagavatam describes that we experience a very special kind of happiness. Now you see a child here is in the arms of his mother. Now the safest position for the child is when the child is in the arms of the mother. If you've seen in the local train sometimes, so crowded, anxiety, you've seen people are, you know, anxious how to stand, where they'll get place to sit. And you'll see some ladies with their child in the arms, and you know the father will also be close by. And they will be in anxiety, but the child, if you see the baby, is very peacefully sleeping. As if he has no problem. Everybody else in the compartment is having a lot of problem and anxiety. But the child is completely relaxed because he has taken complete shelter of his mother. So when we chant the holy names of Krishna, when we depend on Krishna, this is the kind of shelter we experience. And that gives us relief from all suffering and all fear. Then we become abhayam. We are situated in the platform of fearlessness. I would like all of you to repeat this verse. You can chant after me. I'll chant the first line. Apanna samsmritim ghoram. Yannama vivasho grunam. Tata sadyo vimucheta. Yad bibeti swayam bhayam. This material world is called as ghoram. Complicated. Apanna samsmritim ghoram. This is very complicated, very messy. Only causing anxiety, fear. Yan nama vivashogran. But if we can somehow chant the holy names of Krishna, tata sadyo vimuchita, immediately all our fear will be vanquished. And yad bibeti swayam bhayam. Because fear personified is afraid of the holy names of Krishna. So if we take shelter of Krishna, we will experience this kind of relief. There is another verse, you can also chant this. Because somebody may say that I have no fear. Eta nirvidya mananam. Ichchatama kuto bhayam. Yoginam rupanirnitam. Harer nama anukirtanam. Somebody may say, I have no material desires. I am equipoised. I am very smart, intelligent, peaceful. Nirvidya mananam. Somebody may have lot of material desires. Ichchatam. Akuto bhayam. Somebody may be very fearful. Somebody may not have any fear. Yoginam. Somebody may be very happy. Nripa nirnitam. But it is the conclusion of the scriptures that whoever you are, if you want to continue to be happy and if you want to relieve yourself from miseries, harer namanu kirtanam. So all relief from suffering will come. All fear will vanquish when we take shelter of Krishna's holy names. Because this world is made in such a way, we should know that whoever we are going to be attacked and bombarded with so much negativity that we cannot be peaceful. The negativity is so overwhelming that we cannot be peaceful simply by our efforts. We have to helplessly call out to Krishna and take shelter of Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I remember some years back in 2008, we saw this gruesome act taking place here in Bombay. In fact, when this terrorist attacked here, it was not even 100 meters from the temple. It was such a scary situation. And the whole night we were hearing blasts and sounds, and you know, it was so scary. It was madness. So we cannot avoid bizarre, mad things happening in this world. And I remember when this terrorist attack was going on, next day morning, there was confusion and uncertainty looming large on the faces of even devotees. We were here in the temple hall, but so much anxiety. What will happen? What is happening? This is madness. Because, you know, it's one thing to know that terrorists are attacking, but when something is happening next to you, so close, it was a very scary experience. And I remember just a few years before that, the terrorists attacked Swaminarayan temple. And that evening, all the devotees were so concerned, you know, why this, what is happening? And that time we didn't even have security. One devotee said, if the terrorists come here, we are sleeping in the night, we have no security. Any time we could be killed, any time death can come. This world is a nasty place. And next day morning, one congregation devotee, he is not a mad person, he is not wanting attention, he is a simple, nice congregation devotee. But because of the crazy things that are happening in this world, he broke down in the temple hall in front of everyone. He just broke down. He started crying, wailing, beating his chest. He just went berserk. He's a very good person. It's just that the negativity is so overwhelming. Even the best of sober people can lose their sobriety. So it's madness. Therefore, who can protect us at such times? We have to take exclusive shelter of Krishna, who has so mercifully appeared in the form of his holy names. And then death becomes different. Just like cat carries a rat in the mouth, for rat the cat's mouth is death. But the same cat also carries her own kitten in the mouth. For the kitten, that mouth is shelter. Similarly, when devotee takes shelter of Krishna's holy names, that same death appears like a cat's mouth for a kitten. That means a devotee becomes like the kitten. He feels shelter in Krishna's holy names, and therefore he invites death. Srila Prabhupada once said, if nuclear bomb comes, we will say that is Krishna coming. We can't do anything. We'll take shelter of Krishna and go back to Krishna. Like, you know, during marriage ceremony, a girl may cry a lot because she has to now go to an uncertain place, and she also is feeling attachment from her family members. She has to leave them, so she's crying. But if it's a love marriage and the girl already knows who her parents, in-laws are going to be, and she's already had a courtship for some years, so when she's getting married, she may be externally crying, but silently she's celebrating at the prospect of going to a new house, which she already knows. So devotee is like that girl who already knows her husband, who already knows her in-laws. Generally people are dying, they are scared, they are crying because they don't know where they are going. And also they are living behind all the attachments. But a devotee has already developed a relationship with Krishna for so many years of his life in this material body. His relationship is thick, strong. So now when it's time to leave, he's ready. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, when he was leaving, he would say, he would get up in the morning during those last stages, he would tell Radhana Swami Maharaj, oh, another sunrise, I have to be one more day in this material world. When I'll go back to Krishna? He was excited and eager to go back to Krishna because the relationship becomes thickened. So therefore, this world is not the place where we have to live. This is a crazy, bizarre world. But this will not happen simply if we do hearing and chanting in a mechanical way. We have to do hearing and chanting by investing our feelings. We have to chant with feelings of devotion, and we have to hear prayerfully. You can also chant these two verses after me. Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Hariri Ishwaram Shrotavya Kirtita Savyascha Smartavya Shechata Bhayam. So this is explaining how if we simply do three things, Shrotavya, Kirtitavya and Smartavya, if you hear about Krishna, chant about Krishna and remember Krishna, then Chechata Abhayam, all the Bhaya will go and we will become Abhayam, we will become fearless. And then Narad Muni tells Vyasadev in the first canto, Etadatura Chittanam Matra Sparsha Chaya Muhu Bhava Sindhu Plavo Drishto Hari Charyanu Varnanam. This is our situation. Atura Chittanam. Chitta means consciousness. It is filled with atur, anxiety. morning to night. And this anxiety is because of matra sparsha chaya muhu, because of the contact of the senses with the sense objects, or the desire to enjoy sense objects is causing us all this anxiety. Therefore, if we want to cross over this ocean of suffering and anxiety and fear, bhava sindhu, this ocean of bhava sagar, if you want to plavo drishto, if you want to go beyond this, hari charyanu varnanam, constantly glorify Lord Krishna, then we will become free from all fear and anxiety. Therefore, this is the two very important solutions that we have discussed in today's class. These are the five topics. We have completed three topics. We have introduced the concept of fearlessness and fear. Then we discussed how, why does fear exist? Because of bodily consciousness, gap between expectation and reality, and time factor. And then we also discussed how to cope with this fear, hearing and chanting. After hearing all this, you will say, okay, this sounds so theoretical. Are there examples of somebody who has overcome fear? Yes, that's what we are going to discuss now. Examples of fearlessness. And the scriptures are filled with many examples. And we already discussed example of Parikshit Maharaj. But we'll take examples of, not from Bhagavatam directly, we'll take person Bhagavat. And the best example is Srila Prabhupada. These are Naxalite terrorists who were threatening Srila Prabhupada in Calcutta Pandal program. When Prabhupada was giving lecture, 40,000 people were there, and they sent flyers to Srila Prabhupada. Fly or die. Get out of this place or else we will kill you. Prabhupada looked at it and Prabhupada said, Prabhupada just completely ignored it. He continued his Harikatha. Then again the flyers came. It was a 10-day Pandal program. Every day threats were coming to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada was focused on giving Krishna to others. Then finally, on the second last day, these mischievous people, they actually picked up the chairs in the front row and started throwing, and a big fight started. And devotees thought, now there is going to be killing, and anything can happen. It was messy. It was very confusing. People started running away. Prabhupada sitting on the Vyasasana. The class was going on. Prabhupada is equipoised. And Prabhupada loudly started chanting, Chinta Mani Prakara Sadma Sukalpa Vriksha. Prabhupada started chanting prayers to Lord Krishna. And loudly and intensely was chanting. And immediately, suddenly, mysteriously, the writers disappeared. The writing stopped as if nothing has happened there. Everything was quiet. And after the class, Prabhupada told the devotees, call those people. And all those people who had created disturbance, so this, they were around. They came to Prabhupada's tent. Prabhupada spoke to them. Prabhupada and these people, Naxalites, they were talking for a long time. And after that, next 2-3 days was remaining. They didn't create any disturbance. Srila Prabhupada, what faith he had in the holy name. For somebody like Srila Prabhupada, at an age of 70, is going to America. What a fearful situation it is for an old man to go without knowing anybody in a country, going in a cargo ship and having heart attack. But Prabhupada was completely fearless. He had taken shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Once when Srila Prabhupada was flying from San Diego to Dallas, he was flying from Dallas to New Orleans. And Upendra Prabhu was his servant. And suddenly the flight went out of control because of bad weather. It was a real bad situation. It was so bad that the overhead bins opened up and the luggage started falling. And people went berserk. They were really scared. And they started screaming, crying. And Srila Prabhupada, during that whole panic situation, his hand was on the beat bag and he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. Srila Prabhupada was completely focused on remembering Krishna. And Upendra Prabhu was so scared. He just held Prabhupada at one time and he said, and Prabhupada was just quiet. And the only thing Prabhupada asked was, he didn't say anything. And when they landed, and everybody started cheering, because somehow the plane landed safely. And all the passengers were cheering, and they were so relieved. Prabhupada was equipoised even during the panic situation, and even when the plane landed safely. And Prabhupada simply asked, so how far is the temple? Okay. Temple is one hour drive. Okay. As if nothing had happened. That is how he was focused on Krishna. He didn't simply say that when death comes, we are ready, we'll chant Hare Krishna. He actually showed it on many occasions. And when he was actually leaving this world, what was Prabhupada's statement? Prabhupada was asked, do you have any desires? Prabhupada said, Kuch ichha nahi. I have no desire. Because I am going back to Krishna. Actually, one Prabhupada disciple, I don't remember who, very nice comparison he gave. When Aghasur came to Vrindavan, he had made his mouth so big, and all the coward boys fearlessly ran into the mouth of Aghasur, as if it's a plaything. They had no fear. And demigods, they have all the weapons and thunderbolts on the heavenly planets, they were afraid of Aghasur with all the weapons. And coward boys had no weapons, but they fearlessly entered because they had love and faith in Krishna. And that devotee was saying that Prabhupada was like those coward boys. He was entering into Aghasur's mouth in one sense, entering America at that age, the heart of Kali, the place where Maya is in full action, Prabhupada enters there. And even last days, July 1977, the doctors in Vrindavan told Srila Prabhupada's disciples that he has 3 or 4 more weeks to live. And Srila Prabhupada at that time said, let us go to London for Rath Yatra. Because he couldn't get up from the bed. But Prabhupada said, let me die on the battlefield. What courage in preaching and giving Krishna to others. What compassion. What fearlessness. Because he was fully focused on Lord Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada revealed this in the most bizarre place. What is this? Who are these? Hippies. Srila Prabhupada was in New York with all hippies. And that time, you know, that area where Prabhupada lived, there was a sniper. Sniper is one, you know, they take a gun and they hide in some room and they shoot. Every day, 1 or 2 people they just kill. For no reason, they just shoot. And Prabhupada was walking by that same road every day. Fearlessly, Prabhupada would go purchase a grocery, cook for Krishna. So one day, one devotee said, Prabhupada, you used to go through that road every day. There was a sniper there. You were not afraid? Prabhupada said, oh, I'm not afraid. Prabhupada didn't say, I'm not afraid because I'm taken shelter of Krishna. Prabhupada said, I'm not afraid because I'm a Calcutta man. No? So I'm not afraid. That was his humility. But that was Prabhupada's faith in Krishna. And in San Francisco, once one crazy girl came at night 2 o'clock. Prabhupada was doing translation. 2 o'clock in the night. He's busily absorbed in translation and there is a knock on the door. And he opens the door and he sees one young girl, 17-year-old girl, and she's just staring at Prabhupada very angrily. Prabhupada said, what is it? And she says, just keep staring. Prabhupada said, come on, you have disturbed me. I was doing translation and you have disturbed me and I was focused on Bhagavatam and this 2 o'clock in the night and you're standing here and you're not telling also anything. What do you want? Why did you knock on the door? Not saying anything. And then Prabhupada got disgusted. And then he thought of closing the door. As he was about to close the door, the girl entered the room. So when the girl entered, Prabhupada and she were alone in the house. So Prabhupada immediately came out of the house, instinctively. So when he came out, she also came out, but she closed the door, and that was a self-locking door. And Prabhupada's key was inside. So now Prabhupada and this young girl are outside the house at 2 o'clock in the night in San Francisco, and Prabhupada doesn't have a key, and he doesn't know where the other boys are staying, and they are now both on the street. And Prabhupada is looking at that girl, and she's saying, and he's saying, what do you want? And she just stares at Prabhupada. And then suddenly she starts saying, ah, la, hula, hula, hula. She starts shouting. And Prabhupada looks at her. And she's just shouting, la, hula. Can you imagine 2 o'clock in the night, somebody shouts at you like that, you're alone. How would you feel? Then Prabhupada starts thinking, okay, now what to do? Then he remembers Mukunda is staying somewhere close by. So he remembers, he goes to Mukunda's house and he knocks on the door. Mukunda and Janki wake up. 2 o'clock in the night, Swamiji, Prabhupada. And then they see this girl behind. Mukunda is comes out of his slumber and he says, what has happened? And then Prabhupada explains the whole thing. And then he gets very angry with that girl. Mukunda says, you stupid girl, don't you realize you're disturbing an elderly Swami who is writing books? 2 o'clock in the night, you're disturbing him? Don't you understand? And this girl looks at Mukunda and smiles. And she says, you are a young boy, you will never understand. So then Mukunda has a spare key. So he takes Prabhupada. Then he opens the door and Prabhupada goes in. And then Mukunda is left to handle that girl. Somehow he sends her away. And then what does Prabhupada do? He closes the door, goes back and continues his translation of Bhagavatam as if nothing has happened. Can we do our work after this kind of interruption? Is it possible to resume our work if you are doing some service and something like this happens? Then can we go back and resume as if nothing has happened? It's impossible. But Srila Prabhupada was focused on Krishna so much. And then next morning, after 4 or 5 hours, Prabhupada gave morning class at 7 o'clock. This girl was sitting. This girl came for the Bhagavatam class. And Prabhupada gave normal class as if nothing has happened. Prabhupada would give class in New York, and suddenly in the middle of the class somebody would get up and shout. And crazy things would happen. Once one man started staring at Prabhupada very angrily and started shouting, and he came right in the front and was looking at Prabhupada very angrily. And after the class, that time Prabhupada would give apple slices as prasad. So after the class, everybody was sitting. Not everybody means 10-15 people. Prabhupada took the apple, broke into 5-6 pieces from the knife, and he took the knife on one hand and the apple slices on the one hand, and he presented it to that boy who was very angry throughout and gave it like this. And that boy was just staring at angrily at Prabhupada. He had already shouted at Prabhupada, and now Prabhupada gave him knife and apples. And he looked at Prabhupada, looked at the hands, and finally took apple. And others were relieved, but Prabhupada was, you know, I was just wondering what amazing confidence in Krishna, what amazing fearlessness. Srila Prabhupada says that when Calcutta, Second World War bombs were falling, he was making kachoris for Krishna. He was saying, if bomb comes, no problem. Rake Krishna mare ke, mare Krishna rake ke. That was Prabhupada's. Prabhupada is the best example of fearlessness. But we also have many devotees in ISKCON. There's a long list of devotees. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Those who have taken shelter of Krishna's holy names. They have conquered over this process of birth and death. And they have shown by their tremendous example. We had one devotee from San Diego, Radhanath Prabhu. Many of us met him. He came on a wheelchair. His legs were amputated. And when he was here, what preaching he was doing. He was giving Krishna to everyone. Those of us who remember. What an example. And when he was in San Diego and his both legs were broken, he was completely blissful. He was grateful to Krishna. He was saying, Krishna has given me hands to chant. And I can chant on my beats. And Radhana Swami Maharaj was saying that he had gone to see him. And he said next to him was another boy who was also admitted in the hospital. And he had lost his finger. And that boy was simply lamenting. That, you know, why God is doing like this? Why I am suffering? And here is a person who lost both his legs. And he was so blissful remembering Krishna. And one of the most amazing examples is of Kunti Mataji, who was Srila Prabhupada's disciple. Who her life was full of hardships. And how Krishna reciprocated with her sincerity. She was diagnosed with cancer. And when she was in her last stages, she took exclusive shelter of Srila Prabhupada's books, holy names, hearing and chanting. And then she told Radhana Swami Maharaj that, Maharaj, I am not feeling that I am on a hospital bed. I am feeling that I am sitting on the bank of Ganga. And Srila Prabhupada's books, I am feeling that it is Sukhdev Goswami talking to me. I am feeling so happy. And Utah, where she was staying, the television channel, the prominent television channel, came to interview her that this lady is about to die and she's so blissful. And that interview was telecast all over the state. And people were amazed. They were coming to her for counseling. So we can see devotees, because they have taken shelter of Krishna, they have displayed high level of abhayam, fearlessness. We also have the example of His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, the jolly Swami who left all of us in 2004. He made this very famous statement. He said, pain is inevitable, but pain is compulsory, but suffering is optional. Pain will come to us, but a devotee doesn't have to suffer if he remembers Krishna. And one of the most inspiring examples personally for me is His Holiness Indradumna Swami Maharaj, who came here last week and had all of us spellbound. And what you are seeing on the right side of your screen here, this is a young girl. This is a tsunami. After the tsunami devastation in Sri Lanka, Indradumna Swami Maharaj went with his team of devotees. And the army major told Indradumna Swami, he said, "Oh Swamiji, you are coming to our country. Let me tell you one thing. What help can you give? The whole world is giving us blankets, money, food. There is no shortage of anything. But all the people are devastated by the tsunami. They are in trauma. It's a traumatic phase. Can you do something to relieve them of trauma?" And Indradumna Swami Maharaj said, "As your servant, I'll try." And what did he try? What did he do? What do you think he must have done? He induced all of the people to chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Hare Hare." And when Indradumna Swami Maharaj started this Sankirtan, everybody who were in such a traumatic phase, their whole village was destroyed. They all came together. They were chanting and dancing. They went mad in ecstasy. They were smiling, laughing. And these devotees distributed prasadam. And after 3 days, when Indradhanu Swami Maharaj and his team was leaving, the villagers stopped them from going. They said, "You can't leave us." And the whole village had changed. Now, you know, you could give them money and everything, but that trauma they're experiencing in the heart, that can only be dissipated by connection to Krishna, by connection to God. Therefore, devotees are our most best well-wishers and friends because they give us Krishna. So Indradhanu Maharaj did this and he's doing it all over the world. And even on a practical, I've seen, Govind Prabhu was telling us when we were coming from Udupi once in the train, there was a couple sitting in front of devotees, husband and wife, and they had some fight. And they were treating each other very badly. And Govind Prabhu was seeing it, we were seeing it. So the wife had to give some food, so she put it in a paper plate and she just literally threw it to her husband. Khao! So the husband took and, you know, he was angry looking at her. They had some issue, we don't know what it was. So devotees are talking, but devotees knew that something is wrong, but we didn't bother. We finished our talking and in the evening time, after 6-7 hours, we saw they're in big mess, some fighting has happened. So Govind Prabhu said, "Let us do some kirtan." So Govind Prabhu started doing kirtan. And the kirtan became so nice. So they couldn't escape. They were, husband and wife were sitting in front. They were doing kirtan and other devotees were there. As the kirtan progressed, both of them were looking at us, devotees, and slowly their frown, you know, we could see that anguish and all that slowly dissolving and slowly smile coming, and they were smiling and they started clapping hands and then slowly started looking at each other and also smiling. So after 2 hours of kirtan, they were completely normal. And then the dinner time came, she was very lovingly giving her husband some chapati. The whole situation had changed. And Govind Prabhu said, "See, this is the power of holy name." Practical. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said this. If the God brothers simply come together and dance in Guru Puja, all fights and differences will go away. Simply coming together and chanting and glorifying Krishna dissolves our false ego. So there are many examples. We can overcome our anxiety, stress, worry by taking shelter of Krishna's holy names. Now, we have discussed the 4 topics. Now, we'll conclude with a very important topic of developing a healthy fear. Because fear is not bad. We should be fearful of Maya. Our goal is not to become fearless. Because fear is an emotion that can be used in service of Krishna also. Because somebody may say, terrorists are also fearless. They are just going and killing people. Actually, now that we mentioned it, we should clarify. Terrorists are the most fearful people. They are most insecure. In the name of the religion, because they are highly in bodily consciousness. Completely bodily consciousness. They feel the religion is under threat. So they have to kill everyone. And externally, when they are dying, they may be laughing, but they are going to hell. What is the UC? That is why it's very important. We should not be mistaking some externally somebody is not fearless doesn't mean he is a very great person. That's why fearlessness is not the goal. Some devotee may be in the last stage crying, but he will go back to Krishna. Krishna is very kind. It's not simply our external show that we put up. No, that's more deeper. Like for example, if there are 2 boys, one of them has studied whole year sincerely and before exam is in anxiety. You know, he's doing last minute and he's in anxiety. But he's a sincere boy. Whole year he has studied. And the other person, whole year he has been doing time pass. He has not studied. And exam time also he's going around laughing. "Hey, what you are studying? I am cool." He's going to flunk. Everybody knows he's going to flunk. But he doesn't care. So now somebody sees, "Oh, he is so cheerful. He is so cool, and this person is so much in anxiety." So foolish person will conclude that this person who is cheerful is very intelligent. No, it is not how you appear before the exam. It is more important to know what is the result of the exam. Similarly, it's not important how a person is when he is dying. It is more important to know where that person is going after death. Because sometimes devotees may die in very apparently unfortunate or in gruesome ways. That doesn't mean we should feel, "Oh, what happened to devotees?" No, devotees will go back to Krishna. They sincerely serve Krishna. So it's not important how you die, but where you go after death. That is more important. So we should not be impressed by some people, or we should not be confused by people who say that there are some people who are fearless. So fearlessness is not the goal. Srila Prabhupada said devotees are fearful. They are fearful of Maya. Srila Prabhupada said one of the biggest problems with my disciples and followers is they are not sufficiently afraid of Maya. And when Srila Prabhupada was praying in Dallas, and Kirtanananda Swami asked him, Srila Prabhupada, what are you praying? Srila Prabhupada said, I am praying to Krishna. Please Krishna, let me never forget you. Let me never fall down to Maya. Srila Prabhupada was praying like that. He was teaching us that we should be praying like this. On another occasion, Srila Prabhupada once told his disciples, what is the difference between you and me? And the disciple didn't know. And Prabhupada said, that difference is you can anytime fall down, I can never fall down. So then another devotee said, Prabhupada, but you were praying once that, you know, you should not fall down. Prabhupada said, yes, that is why I will not fall down. If you pray to Krishna, you will not fall down. If you take shelter of Krishna, you will not fall down. Like that Prabhupada said. So one is we should be afraid of distractions and temptations which come in our spiritual life. So we should be afraid of Maya. We should also be afraid of something very powerful, that is hearing criticism of Vaishnavas, which is like, you know, if there is a big black poisonous snake here, cobra here, what will happen to us? We'll all run away. Actually, when we hear some criticism or negative prajalpa, especially criticism of devotees, we should know that that's a black snake. We should run away. Because if a black snake, if a cobra bites us, the poison is injected into our system, we can be cured. But if the poison of criticism of devotees is injected into our consciousness, it will destroy our spiritual life. It's very deadly. So we should carefully guard against this. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, offense to Vaishnavas is a mad elephant offense. Our tender creeper of bhakti which we are growing in our heart, that has to be protected. But if we commit offenses to Vaishnavas, it is like allowing a mad elephant to enter the garden and trample all the plants. See, when we commit offenses, that offense will destroy whatever little devotional service we are doing. So we should be afraid of offending devotees, of hearing criticism of devotees, of the temptations which lure us away from Krishna. Ladini Mataji, very powerful Srila Prabhupada's very dear disciple and very great devotee of Lord Balaram. And she used to always tell Radhana Swami Maharaj in all her letters, correspondence and meetings, that I am only afraid that I should never, my only prayer is I should never commit an offense to a devotee. That is my only prayer. Nothing else she was asking from Krishna. That is how much importance we should give to the association of devotees that we are getting. Therefore, to conclude our class today, we have briefly discussed these five topics. We first introduced the topic of fearlessness, where we discussed how the mind can make us completely go crazy. And then we discuss why does fear exist? Because of our bodily consciousness. Secondly, because of the time factor. And the third, because of the gap between expectation and reality. Then we discuss how to cope with fear. Chanting the holy names of Krishna and hearing the holy names of Krishna. And then we discussed examples of fearlessness. What are the examples? Srila Prabhupada in New York, San Francisco. The whole life of Srila Prabhupada is an example of fearlessness. And then we discussed other examples like Ladini Mataji, Kunti Mataji, Radhanath Prabhu, Indradumna Maharaj going to Sri Lanka. All these examples are a proof of devotees being fearless. And then we discussed how we should develop healthy fear of Maya, healthy fear of committing offenses towards devotees and hearing criticism. Srila Prabhupada, one of his favorite bhajans was Bajaure mana Srinandanandana Abhaya Charanaravindare. That my dear mind, please chant the holy names of Krishna, the names of Srinandanandana, because then you will get all fearlessness. In fact, Srila Prabhupada's name was Abhaya Charan, one who has become fearless having taken shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Krishna. So let us very enthusiastically, very happily take shelter of Krishna. And then we can, this world is going to become more and more mad, more and more crazy all around us. As this world is going to get more crazier, we have to take shelter of Krishna, Srila Prabhupada, and make ourselves strong. Then, Vishwam Purana Sukhayate. Then even though we are in this miserable world, we will be enthusiastic and happy to preach. When Srila Prabhupada was in Delhi, New Delhi, 1971, he was giving an interview to a press reporter, and that very moment Pakistan declared war on India and New Delhi airstrikes were going on. There was a blackout, everything was switched off, And this reporter became panicky and the reporter started crying. She said, Swamiji, there is bombs falling now, right now. And Prabhupada was very coolly standing. And the reporter said, somebody has to go and stop General Yahya Khan of Pakistan. Somebody has to tell him to stop the war. Prabhupada said, why are you flattering Yahya Khan? And he said, no. But there is death. Swamiji, there is death all around us. Prabhupada said, if General Yahya Khan doesn't drop the bombs, he won't die. The reporter, I was not prepared for this kind of question. And the reporter was stunned. And Srila Prabhupada said, don't flatter Yahya Khan, flatter Krishna. Glorify Krishna's holy names by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Kaliyuga Pavan Golokera Premdan Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Jai, Hare Krishna Mahamantra Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapuran Ki Jai. Thank you very much for your kind and patient hearing. Hare Krishna.